AgBioscience is supported by Indiana Farm Bureau.
Southwest's mantra throughout our 50-year plus history has been that we're a customer service company that just happens to fly airplanes.
Welcome to AgBioscience, the number one podcast in the world for innovation in food, animal health, plant science, ag tech, and agriculture. Here is your host, Agrinovis CEO, Mitch Frazier.
Welcome back to Ag Bioscience. About 1.6 million barrels per day of petroleum jet fuel were consumed in the U.S. in 2023. That number is expected to increase to nearly 2 million gallons per day by 2050. One airline is taking a bold move to move from petroleum to sustainable fuels, and that airline is Southwest Airlines. Southwest Airlines Renewable Ventures Chief Operating Officer Anthony Gregory joins us now to share more about what this means for Ag Bioscience, for farmers, and for travelers. Anthony, welcome to Ag Bioscience.
Thanks, Mitch. It's great to be with you.
It is good to have you here. Anthony, Southwest, one of the largest domestic carriers, I think 170 million plane flyers last year. Just incredible. Help us understand this. So you have Southwest Airlines Renewable Ventures as part of this juggernaut that is this airline that we've all come to love. Where does Sustainable Ventures, where does Southwest Airlines Sustainable Ventures fit into the broader labyrinth that is Southwest?
You opened up this conversation with just the volume of fuel that is consumed every day in the United States. So we have a very narrow focus on what is a very formidable challenge. And that is finding non-fossil fuel sources of jet fuel so that we can lower emissions. Southwest is one of the largest airlines in the world. So we see the need to be proactive. And that's really where Southwest Ventures comes into play. We're focused on two things and a sort of an approach to accomplish that task. First is selectively deploying capital and investing into development of technology and in production capacity. And then secondly is entering into multi-year, multi-decade offtake agreements. Southwest is very financially strong. We're an investment grade rated airline, one of the few in the world. And so that dual approach where you can deploy capital and enter into those offtake agreements, we think can scale productive capacity in a way that de-risks companies who are seeking to produce these fuels.
It's a beautiful realization of the mantra that I think so many have taken in innovation. Is you only need two things if you're a startup. You need capital and you need customers. As one of the largest airlines, certainly here in the U.S., and now with a venture arm as part of it, it makes a lot of sense. As you think about this renewable venture or this renewable fuels world, sustainable aviation fuel specifically, I mean, Anthony, it's gained so much attention from the farm gate all the way to Wall Street. Give us an idea of the market itself. What is the sustainable aviation fuel market? And how do you think that mix will shift over time from petroleum-based fuels to sustainable aviation fuel?
Sustainable aviation fuel, or SAF, it's become a very popular acronym just in the recent years. And in the exact parts of the economy that you mentioned, you know, you're starting to see airlines attend energy conferences and agricultural conferences. These are traditionally parties that did not work directly together, but now we are partnered on this important effort. So, real quick, sustainable aviation fuel, what is it? It is jet fuel that is exact same chemical makeup as petroleum-based jet fuel, but it comes from non-fossil fuel sources. There are a number of ways to get to that end product that airlines can consume. You can use products like animal tallow and organic oils or used cooking oil, and that can be converted to jet fuel via a process that's known as HEFA. You have alcohol feedstocks, such as ethanol, that can be converted to jet fuel via alcohol to jet. There's some really encouraging and impressive technology that is called power to liquid, but it's very nascent. It's very early. And to be clear, we need every one of those pathways to come to fruition. So just adding on to the volume, you know, stats that you mentioned at the start, the airline industry in the U.S. as a whole consumes 25 billion gallons of jet fuel a year. In 2023, 23 million gallons of SAF was produced. So we have an industry that needs 25 billion. There's currently 23 million gallons of SAF on the market. So this is an energy transition in the purest form that is going to be years, decades in the making. And hence you have agriculture, energy, and airlines coming together and we're bullish on biofuels. This alcohol to jet pathway is advantaged because of the availability of feedstocks, because of the existing infrastructure, the ethanol footprint that already exists, the biodiesel, renewable diesel market that already exists. We see this as an extension versus having to create a market or a product that's completely new.
When you look at the assets that are on the balance sheet, particularly here in the Midwest, I look at Indiana specifically, I think the number is roughly 45% of our corn goes to ethanol. As you begin to look at ethanol demand and lots of forecasts out there, but all of them point down, as you look at this critical role of sustainable aviation fuel, filling that trough, right, bringing the trough up on demand for ethanol, and then meeting a need for an airline becomes a really important piece of this next chapter of the economy.
That's right. So if my information is most recent, around 16 to 17 billion gallons of ethanol was produced in the United States in the most recent year. Compare that to the 25 billion gallons. I know we're using lots of numbers here that the U.S. aviation sector needs for jet fuel. Around the world, it's 100 billion gallons. So when we talk to ethanol producers and when we see forecasts that show ethanol demand going down, we're excited that SAF can be a new demand source so that softening of demand for the ethanol community does not happen. And in fact, it's a strengthening of demand, not just within the U.S., but potentially in international markets as well. You mentioned the Midwest. I just have to say the reason I'm so excited to talk with you and excited about the prospects here in Indiana is the Midwest has to lead on sustainable aviation fuel for the factors, you know, the reasons you mentioned, right? So we've got clearly world-class farmers and agriculture community that have just shown the ability year in, year out to innovate and to raise yields. And so the building blocks, the feedstock sources are here. You have the ethanol community that is centered in Indiana, Illinois, Iowa, within the Corn Belt. But you also have proximity to the largest airline hubs in the world, Chicago, Atlanta, Denver, Dallas, Houston, you know, these airports that sit either in or on the periphery of the Midwest. And this is a good place to do business with universities and a business community that have shown the ability to rise to that challenge. And so we're excited, but we also need the Midwest to lead in this space.
When you look at this need, there's a couple forces here that I think are at play. We have to talk about economics. So the economics of sustainability have been one that I think have maybe sometimes taken a passenger seat, where it's, we're going to focus on sustainability. But I think you and I have talked so many times about sustainability has to be twofold. It has to be environmental sustainability as well as economic sustainability. What do the economics of sustainable aviation fuel look like for an airline like Southwest?
I have to just emphasize the phrase you just said, environmental sustainability with economic sustainability, is exactly how we think about it. So not to take us off track, but just briefly, you know, Southwest mantra throughout our 50-year plus history has been that we're a customer service company that just happens to fly airplanes. We were fond of saying that we gave America the freedom to fly. You know, as aviation and airlines were deregulated in the 70s and into the 1980s, flying used to be something that was reserved for a certain tier of the economy or the public. And certainly airfares now are within reach of most folks in the public. And we've all become accustomed to flying multiple times a year for business or for leisure. And so we're focused on both of those, and that's key. But you're right. And back to the point of this being an energy transition, it's also about energy production. The sustainable aviation fuel that's available on the market today ranges anywhere from $7, $8, $9, $10 per gallon. And that's in contrast to a jet fuel spot price that's less than $2.50. So order of magnitude larger. For an airline, roughly 25 to 30% of our operating cost is fuel. And so we are after two things. We are seeking to lower our greenhouse gas emissions, and we're also after keeping flying affordable because they have to go in tandem. If we try to do one without the other, it's not sustainable. There's a number of credits that have come into the market to help bridge that gap between $7, $8 a gallon and the $2 crude oil price that I mentioned. And those are critical. They're working. So these are things like the 40B SAF blenders credit, you know, soon to be the 45Z clean fuel production credit. Those are meaningful, and they are incentivizing both SAF production and SAF consumption. And so they're working. When you stack those with some state credits like we see in Illinois or California or other states, you do get to the place that there's several SAF pathways that can get to parity with jet fuel, which is a fantastic story. So now it's about scale, and now it's about sustaining those economics. No surprise, what is working against those credits is they are short-term in nature. The clean fuel production credit is due to sunset at the end of 2027. And so in a space where you need capital to come in for tech development and capital to flow to project financing and infrastructure development, a two-year time horizon is a large disincentive to actually seeing the types of capital and work that's needed to go build out this market.
What does the future of SAF look like? We'll dig into it right after this. Ag Bioscience is supported by Indiana Farm Bureau.
A healthy company is a blessing, but a well-insured company is a necessity. That's why Indiana Farm Bureau offers more affordable health plans for eligible members. Whether you have just a handful of employees or a larger enterprise, building a stable business demands employees who are just as strong and healthy. Indiana Farm Bureau can help with health plans that include medical, dental, vision, and Medicare supplement insurance plans. And you can sign up for membership and apply for an Indiana Farm Bureau health plan any time of year. Indiana Farm Bureau understands the cost of healthcare has rapidly become one of the largest expenses for many small businesses. We invite you to compare our health plans to your current coverage. We're confident you could find significant savings. To learn more about the health plan that's right for you, visit infbhealthplans.com and make the switch today.
Welcome back to Ag Bioscience. We're talking with Anthony Gregory, Chief Operating Officer of Southwest Airlines Renewable Ventures. Anthony, we're just talking about the challenge and opportunity of sustainable aviation fuel. And I think it's important to spend some time on how will these markets actually work? We see a lot of challenge on the far, at the farm gate today with commodity prices being really, really tough. You see this complex infrastructure of credits in states and federal governments. How do these markets actually work and what do they mean for farmers here in the Midwest?
Biofuels have to materialize in order for airlines like Southwest and the rest of the sector to lower our emissions. And so that sheer fact should provide support to crop prices, to ethanol prices, just in terms of the overall demand. We've talked a bit about credits and we see that the need for credits, the need for incentives, it is widely accepted. Regardless of the political spectrum, folks see that credits and incentives are needed over multiple years in order for this market to come to fruition. And so what we see happening then is working with ethanol producers to begin to potentially take some of their existing ethanol demand and bring it through the alcohol to jet process. Soybean and soybean oil can be brought through the HEFA process. So there, first and foremost, you have both corn and soybean demand that is underpinned by the need for SAF. But as we also said earlier, we need far more than what the industry is even producing now in terms of ethanol and soy-based sustainable aviation fuel. So where's it going to come from? Well, you can get into other feedstocks such as sorghum, and potentially it's sorghum or other energy crops grown specifically for sustainable aviation fuel. We're also focused on ag residues and byproducts such as corn stover. One of our investments is into a company named Sapphire Renewables. We actually bought the company and it's focused on turning corn stover, corn stalks, organic matter into ethanol via a cellulosic pathway. And we'd love to talk more about that.
Well, let's dig into it because I think it's always good to talk big and macro, but this is not something that Southwest Airlines Renewable Ventures, you're not taking a passenger's role here. You are leading, pioneering innovation, both through capital deployment as well as direct ownership.
You got it. We think of ourselves as very disciplined, but also we want to be active investors. And so we've gone public with two investments so far. One was a $30 million investment into LanzaJet. LanzaJet is a company that converts or upgrades alcohol feedstocks into jet fuel. They just opened the world's first ATJ facility in Georgia, and they're a world leader. They have projects not just in the United States, but also in Europe and in the APAC focused on SAF production. And so that accomplishes a really important part of this value chain, which is how do we turn alcohol feedstocks to jet fuel? Given it's the world's first, we need many more of those facilities, and we're working with LanzaJet to build more of those facilities. But then as you go upstream, we need more feedstocks, alcohol feedstocks. And so our second investment was an acquisition of a company named Sapphire Renewables. Sapphire is leveraging technology that was developed at the National Renewable Energy Lab. It's a energy technology company that treats cellulosic biomass to free the sugars in that plant matter so we can follow what essentially looks like a traditional ethanol production path. The sugars are turned into ethanol, and that ethanol then would be taken to a company like LonzaJet for conversion. Now, there's a lot of a history of cellulosic ethanol production, and that history has shown some very high profile failures in the past. Yet, what we evaluated the landscape and evaluated this company, what we were so impressed by was NREL, the National Renewable Energy Lab, took those learnings from those failures 10, 15 years ago for previous cellulosic attempts as the fuel to create this new process, which is markedly different than previous cellulosic attempts. And so we're very bullish on the technology. We have a long way to go in order to prove out its effectiveness. But if it is successful, and we believe it will be, this introduces a new source of feedstock that goes right alongside of traditional crop feedstocks in order to meet global demand for aviation fuel.
Anthony, as you think about the thesis that you've clearly articulated around Southwest Airlines Renewable Ventures, what are you looking for? Specifically, those who are listening, they have a technology, they have an innovation. Are you looking for seed stage, Series A stage? You made a complete acquisition, sounds like. Where in that space do you feel like is the sweet spot for Southwest?
We're open to discussing investment at any of those stages, but it goes back to, I think, a key point that we said at the beginning, which is the most attractive investments are ones where we can deploy capital and also bring alongside with an offtake. And so we are highly unlikely to make an investment just for investment sakes, unless there is a clear path to taking that technology and with Southwest involvement, de-risking scale, accelerating scale to get to the point that now a fuel product or a feedstock intermediary can be off-taken by Southwest and moved to a fuel producer. And I think zooming out even at a macro level, we're looking to work with companies that have just the inherent awareness of this entire value chain. It starts with the farmer and it starts with the grower, as it often does. And we've been so impressed working with the ag community. I don't know how many times we'll have an assumption that this is the first time this problem has been encountered or this is the first time someone's thought of this. And then we talk to the farming community and they say, oh no, we've encountered that before. And we also have a solution. So, we continue to be impressed by that, by those partnerships. Second, we need at least an environment, whether it's policy or incentive structures that are long-term in nature so that we and others can make these investments in ways that will play out over multiple years. There's just that runway so that these investments can actually scale. And then I think lastly, it's working in partnership so that innovation happening on the farm, at the ethanol plant, at the fuel producer, we're all working together to leverage those innovations so this eventual market can grow and scale.
Anthony, I have time for one more question. And this is one. It's fascinating to me as I spend time with you. You and I have talked a number of times. Smart money is always the money that early stage companies want access to. And your story is incredible when you look at smart money applied to a real problem that we've talked about. You're a longtime Southwest guy. You're not a ventures guy. You're not a guy who came up through the finance world. You're a Southwest operations guy who spent some time with a really cool startup and said, you know what? I think I can do this at Southwest. You got to share a little bit before we wrap up your journey from operations leader to entrepreneur to now investor.
I don't know how interesting it actually is, but happy to take you through it briefly. Just fortunate to have been with Southwest for 15 years working in operations and commercial planning. I think as anyone who's worked in operations would attest, there's just no substitute for operations experience. So Southwest operates 4,000 flights a day. We carry 500,000 people per day. The group that I had a chance to work with was made up of 20,000 people. So this is a department within Southwest. So my team that I was a part of was 20,000 strong that every day brought this orchestration alongside of the rest of the company to operate those flights safely, reliably, efficiently. I had the fortune of joining GM and working with their autonomous vehicle division Cruise for some time. Cruise is working on just revolutionary technology. And what's interesting as you think about applying automation into the physical world is that at the end of the day, one of the limiters on scale or how fast you can move is energy and physical infrastructure. And so time and time again, we come back to this challenge of how do you go commercialize tech or commercialize solutions as quickly as possible? And there's a real physical problem that exists to doing that. And it often is energy and infrastructure. And so it's a blend of luck and timing that I find myself where I am, happy to be helping Southwest in this part. We, at the end of the day, think of ourselves as, you know, one effort among many. The industry is trying to make a big leap here. And innovation so often is a set of just innumerable small steps by the right people at the right time in the right environment to move the ball forward. And that's where we find ourselves today.
Well, I'm glad you're in Indiana. I'm glad you're leading this effort. He's Anthony Gregory, Chief Operating Officer of Southwest Airlines Renewable Ventures. Anthony, just a delight to spend time with you. Thanks for investing the time. And thank you for joining us on Ag Bioscience. You can always get the latest Ag Bioscience news and insights from discussions just like this by listening and subscribing wherever you get your podcast. And while there, don't forget, you can check us out online and learn where we, Ag Bioscience, are going to be. You can do it at agrinovusindiana.com. On behalf of the entire Agrinovus team, I'm Mitch Frazier, saying thanks for listening and watching. We look forward to seeing you real soon.
Ag Bioscience is a podcast by Agrinovus Indiana, hosted by Mitch Frazier, produced by Kayla Chittister and Fabian Rodriguez, photography and design by Kaylee Kerr. If you like today's episode, subscribe, rate, and review so we can bring you more conversations just like this. Get all episodes of Ag Bioscience at agrinovusindiana.com.